Is this on?
Perfect.
All right, I was going to say welcome back to you guys, but maybe I'm the one that feels like I'm coming back home. So anyhow, it's good to be back and just to, you know, see your all smiling faces, as Pastor Dom always said, you know, and every time he'd say that, then it would be a motivation for me to smile back at him. But anyways, it's really good to be back. This morning, I was feeling like the Lord wanted me to share about identity in Christ. And that's something that over the past few weeks, last couple of years as well, that God's just been working in my heart as to what am I finding my identity in. And a lot of times we find our identity in the society around us, in the culture around us, in our hairstyle and how we look, in what our family thinks about us, what our friends, our classmates, our coworkers. And so as I transitioned back from Papua New Guinea, growing up in the middle of the jungle with that culture in my background, and then coming back to the States and kind of trying to fit in, then I realized that question kind of plaguing me of who am I? What is my identity? And you guys might be able to relate to that in the lives that you come from as well. When you go up to somebody and you ask them, you know, usually you ask, like, what's your name? But if you ask, you know, who are you? And what's the common response? Usually they would first say their first name, maybe first and last name. And then maybe they would say what their occupation is. Maybe they would say where they go to school. Some people maybe what kind of vehicle they drive. You know, and those things are things that we allow to define us. There's a recent movie that came out called Overcomer. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. It's by the Kendrick Brothers, and it talks about our identity. And there was the main character who ended up going to the hospital to see, do some visitation. While he was there, he ended up in this other room by accident. And there was this other gentleman who then was asking him these questions and asked him who he was. And he started by that common answer of saying who he was, where he worked, being a basketball coach, and that kind of thing. And through the course of events, this gentleman started asking him, like, where is your identity really? And the last thing on his list was saying that he was a Christian. And this gentleman said, interesting, for somebody who claims to be a Christian, it doesn't seem like that's what's identifying your life. And so that was convicting to me too. It's like, what am I allowing to identify me? And through that, I felt like the Lord was wanted me to share on that this morning, just as an encouragement and a challenge to us. What are we allowing to identify ourselves? Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 really dive into that deep, and where Ephesians chapter 2 especially really draws out things about our identity and who we are because of what Christ has done. A lot of times we take our identity in what we have done, our accomplishments, but are we really going to allow that to be our main identity? Or what Christ has done on our behalf. So that was basically our intro. So the question would be, when somebody asks me, who am I? Is my first go-to going to be achievements that I have accomplished? Or is it going to be who I am because of what Christ has done? So we're first going to look at who I was. You guys have inserts there, I'm pretty sure, in your bulletins. If you want to go through the outline. First, it's going to be who I was as a sinner, then what God has done, salvation, then we're going to look at who I am now as a saint. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, if you want to open your Bibles or you can look at it on the screen, says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, having read about what we were, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a look at what God has done here shortly. Father, just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you have taken us as sinners, as dead in sin, as this passage says, that you have taken us as somebody who's not desirable, somebody who's in the enemy ranks, and you've adopted us. You've brought us into your family. Thank you that you've done that for me. And I just ask that we would look to you to find our identity, that we wouldn't look to the society around us, the culture around us, our friends, our classmates, or whoever that may be, but that we would look to you for identity and that that would impact the way we live. I pray that for myself as well as everyone else here this morning. Just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The little phrase "dead in sins" really jumped out to me. And it says, "You're dead in your trespasses and sins." Albert Barnes' commentary notes that before they were converted, they were dead in sins. There is not anywhere a more explicit proof of depravity than this, and no stronger language can be used. And if you think of that, like a cemetery, and there's those tombstones, whether they're the nice and shiny tombstones or they're the old ones, what lies underneath is the same thing. It's dead people. And you and I were dead in sins. No life at all. There is nothing about us that was good. And that's what Christ went after. He went after those who were dead in sins. He says that we formerly walked according to the course of this world. Each one of us have our own testimony of what that was like, of our life when we walked according to the course of this world. And that's a cool thing about each of us sharing our testimony, is seeing the different places that God brought us from. And so as you share your testimony with others, people can see, oh, God brought you out of that too. And it just goes to amplify even more the goodness of God. He said that we formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. He said that we are indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And there's so many of those sins out there. That's so prevalent in our culture. So prevalent on the TV, billboards, all over us. And it's so easy to revert back to that. It's so easy to choose that when we're walking according to the flesh. And that's why we need to renew our minds of who Christ is and what he has done. Instead of being conformed to the things of this world, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we were by nature children of wrath. So now we're going to look at what God has done. First, it was who I was as a sinner. Now what God has done. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, just that. That really jumps out to me. Like, whenever I read through this passage, that was the main thing that jumped out to me the most. Because first we're looking at who we were. And then it says, but God. Now, growing up, anytime I would tell my dad or my mom something, and then I would say, but, they'd be like, hold on a second. You just saying, but, erased everything you just said. So that is what identified us. Who we were identified us. And then it says, but God. So basically, because of what Christ has done, it erases who we were previously to that. So it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is his great love. We have, as I was just talking about, but God, the difference between what we did, who we were, versus what God has done. He was rich in mercy, and then his great love. Think about his rich mercy. A lot of us may pursue things here in this life. We may pursue a better job, better degree, better life, better home, better car, whatever it is. And in that sense, in the world's eyes, we become rich in our possessions. But here, God is rich in mercy. That's pretty cool. Then he says, his great love, it's abounding, overflowing. And he made us alive together with Christ. Think of that tombstone going from death to life. He made us alive together with Christ. It says, by grace you have been saved. And it's not as a result of works. There's nothing we can do to earn that. And he raised us up with him, seated us with him. Colossians 3:1 says to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And now he says that we are seated. He has seated us with him. So there's Christ seated at the right hand of God. And then we're seated with him because of what he has done on our behalf. And that's in the heavenly places, that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. It's not just showing a few little things. The surpassing riches of his grace. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Now you guys just celebrated Christmas just recently. And for those of you who are younger, running up to the Christmas tree. All right, so some of you guys here can relate to that. And you see all the presents underneath the tree, right? And your mom and dad put Christmas gifts there. And you go up, you go to open it up. Now, this thing about being a gift of God and salvation, there's kind of like the head knowledge and the heart knowledge. The head knowledge would be to just look and see, oh, there's a gift under the tree, right? But the heart knowledge would be, there's a gift under the tree. I'm going to unwrap it. Thank my parents for it. Enjoy it. And if I'm nice enough, share it with others. So there's kind of a difference between whether we just know it mentally or if we're going to act upon it. And that's kind of like by faith, believing in Christ. And the gift of God, which is eternal life. So when we open up those gifts, we don't pull out our wallet and say, how much do I owe you? That would be kind of like works. It'd be kind of like trying to repay God for what he has done for us. But it's a free gift. And we're just to open it, enjoy it, thank them. And then if we're nice enough, share it with others. And that's maybe like a slight picture of what missionary work is like. That's part of sharing it with others as well. So what God has done, it's kind of like when we're that sheep stuck out there on that little boulder over that cliff. And in the bottom of the picture, there's water way, way down there. And yet Jesus left the 99 to save the one. You and I are in that place where Jesus came to save us. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We did not deserve it at all. There's this little image here of this little cat looking in the mirror and seeing a lion looking back. And just thinking of that, like our identity. If we're just looking at our identity because of who I was, I would look in the mirror as that little cat and all I see is a little cat looking back. But if we look at it because of what God has done on our behalf, then we look in it as a little cat and we see the reflection of God. He created us in his image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We were created in his image to reflect him. So whenever other people look at our lives, do they just see the little cat? Or do they see the lion? Do they just see us for who I was, for who we were? Or do they see us for who Christ is in us? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are his workmanship. A picture that comes to mind is clay, pottery. And it goes from being just a lump of clay to then him doing his workmanship and putting his hands in there, forming, remolding, reshaping, maybe taking a blade to the edges, knocking off the rough edges, and forming us into his workmanship. And we're created in Christ for good works because of that work that he's done in us. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We're in Christ. Nothing can snatch us out of his hands. And we are that new creation in him. See the little slide of the dog tag there. One of my classmates in the training was a captain, I believe it was in the Marines. And I remember going on a hike with him and looking down at his boots, and he had the dog tag on. And so I asked him about it. And it had a listing of different things that identified him in the military. There'd be his name, the branch of service, serial number, blood type, and then religion. And those things are what in the military would identify somebody if their body was found. You know, and they had it in their shoelaces. And so then my question is, whenever people look at us, whenever they find things that we leave behind, who is it that they find? What identity do they find on those ID tags? So the question with that is, when others look at me, what defines me? Is it who I am in myself, or is it who Christ is in me? Ephesians 1:3-6 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Just thinking of the adoption as sons. Last week, I met this young boy in North Carolina, and he was friends of my uncle and aunt, and they came over. We did a bonfire, and whenever I met this young boy, he said, I am adopted. That was how he introduced himself. His parents had adopted him. And my response to him was, you know what, that is so cool. And what is so cool about that is you can identify even more to what God does when he adopts us. And it was just so cool that this kid, rather than his first introduction being, hi, my name is, he said, I am adopted. So what about whenever people look at us? Is one of our first answers, I am adopted by God. I am his child. And as I got talking with this young boy, and I told him about how cool that was, because it represents the adoption that God does towards us. And he says, yes, I was adopted twice. Once by him, and pointed to his dad. And second by him. That was so cool. And a cool thing about it was in this past week as I was preparing for this message. And I think God just kind of brought that along in my path. And it was really cool to meet that family as well. Verse 7-10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. The redemption through his blood. He redeemed us by his blood. That was a huge sacrifice that he made on our behalf that we might have life. And it says the forgiveness of sins. And in that movie I just told you guys about, Overcomer, the girl who's the main actor, when she got saved, she read through Ephesians 1 and 2. And as she read this verse of forgiveness, it then impacted her life. And she went and forgave her dad, who, when she was a little baby, her dad had abandoned her. And it was through reading this that it then impacted her life. The rest of this passage impacted her that before she was saved, she had stolen things from other people. And she in turn went and returned those items to those people. She went to their doorstep, wrote a little note with it, and set it by their door. She went up to people in person and was like, here you go, and returned it to them. So then my question to us is, how much do these passages impact our lives? A lot of times I think it's easy just to read the Bible and then move on with our lives. My second semester at the Bible school, that was where I found myself. I found myself at a place where I would be studying God's word, I would be reading God's word, and I was like, this is great, and I'd move on. And I realized I could go on throughout the 2 years of Bible school and come away the exact same person, or I could trust God to change my life as a result of what I was learning. And making that decision made major impact on my life for the rest of my time in Bible school, rather than just continuing on and just setting stuff aside. And I still make that mistake, trust me. But I'm challenging you guys as much as I'm challenging myself, I might be challenging myself even more with that, to allow God to change my life because of what I read and what I study, rather than just passing over it. Verse 11 through 14 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. It's in him, and it's an inheritance, being co-heirs with Christ. Now, this is just one passage in the Bible, but all throughout the Bible, we find these other passages that brings out other aspects of our identity in Christ. John 1:12 says that we're a child of God. Ephesians 1:5, adopted to sonship. Romans 6:6, no longer slaves to sin. 1 John 3:1, a loved child of God. Ephesians 3:6, I am a fellow heir. Romans 6:14, I am under grace. John 17:14, I am not of this world. Romans 5:1, I have peace with God. And Philippians 4:13, God is my strength. It doesn't stop there. Genesis 1:27, we're created in the image of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:3, life, our life is hidden with Christ in God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I am a member of his body, the local church. Colossians 1:20, I am reconciled to God. Ephesians 1:6, I am blessed in the beloved. And Romans 6:11, I am dead to sin and alive to God. Those are just a few that I put on paper. There's plenty more. And I'd encourage you guys to even go through your Bible and find those passages that talk about who you are in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's Christ who lives in me. I remember hearing the story of this little kid who said, well, if Jesus lives in me, then shouldn't he be poking out all over? How much does Jesus living in us impact us? And how much do other people see that in our lives? Just a couple things to wrap up here with an application. We started out with who I was apart from God. And then there is what God has done on our behalf. And now who I am now because of what God has done. And then in turn, that impacts how we live. Just an encouraging verse here. John 15, 4 through 5, it says, abide in me, rest in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can bear nothing. You can do nothing. And when you think of a tree or a vine, for that example, if the branch is broken off, it doesn't get any source of life going to it. It does not produce any fruit. But as it abides in the vine, as it's attached to its source of life, that's when it produces the fruit. So as we abide and rest in Christ, that's when his fruit is produced in us. Let's see. And then, I might have accidentally clicked the wrong button. There we go. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, just as a final encouragement, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, that's who we are, he is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So now that he has given his life for us, and he now lives in us, and our life is now hidden with him, then that impacts our everyday lives. So just an encouragement and a challenge to each of us to consider in what ways our life could maybe more accurately represent Christ in us, and to rest in who he is rather than getting all caught up with the circumstances and things around us in the world. Kind of like Peter when he was walking on the water and he got caught up by the waves around him, that's when he began to sink. But when he kept his gaze set on Christ, that's when he kept on walking forward. So I'll just pray for us and then I'll pass it over to Pastor Dave. Father, just thank you so much for another day that we can breathe, another day that we can rest in you, another day that we can abide in you. Thank you that you have done that transforming work in our lives, that you've transformed us from who we were to who we are now because of you. And I just pray that each of us would continue to rest in you, and that that would then shine forth through us to others, and that we would be able to lead more people to you and just show other people who you are. Just pray these things in Jesus' name.